5-11. Let's see it. Calling the Humble Bay Harbor District closed session meeting at 5:11. And we have no public, so we'll skip public comment and we'll move on to closed session. I was just saying before, is wanting to table the item A, public employee performance evaluation, until we have all of the board here. And so we'll move right on to item B.
Gonna meal.
Just about ready to go to open. Chairman Coleman has some minor business details.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for joining. Sorry we're a few minutes late coming out of closed session. President Coleman is dealing with something technical, so he'll be back in just a second to oversee the meeting. Even you back there?
I am back, yeah. Although right,
we just paused everything, waited for you.
Oh. Thanks.
It's can't do it without you, man.
I don't know why. So there I am. So all right. Let me get to my agenda then. I am going to call to order the regular session at 6:07 p.m. of the Humble Bay Harbor Recreation and Conservation District Board of Commissioners. We have a roll call, please.
Yes, Commissioner Higgins. Here. Commissioner Dale.
Here.
Commissioner Doss.
Here.
Commissioner Marks is absent, and President Coleman.
Present. All right. Commissioner Dale is going to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Go ahead and start us off, or should we do it together?
Greg is muted.
He's muted, but just I pledge allegiance to the
flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, liberty and justice for all.
All right. you. May we have a report on closed session, please?
Yes, no reportable action was taken in closed session tonight.
Okay, thank you. We're going to move on to public comment. This portion of the agenda allows the public to speak to the board on various items, issues not itemized on this agenda. A member of the public may also request that a matter appearing on the consent calendar may be pulled and discussed separately. Pursuant to the Brown Act, the board may not take any action on any item that does not appear on the agenda. Each speaker is limited to a period of 3 minutes regarding each item on the agenda. Do we have any public wishing to speak on items not on the agenda? And I see one hand, Kristen, I don't see the full name there. So if that's it, go ahead and you can give us your comment.
Yes, hello, my name is Kristen Orth-Gordonier. I'm a graduate student at Humboldt State University in the Environmental Science and Management program. I'm working with Dr. Lori Richmond in her Human Dimensions lab. And I'm also a planner at Greenway Partners, working with Alderon Laird and Humboldt County Long Range Planning on a feasibility study about sea level rise regional coordination. This is a project that's funded by the California Coastal Commission. As part of my thesis and also part of the county's project, we sent out an online survey to elected officials and staff and agencies that may be involved in sea level rise planning on Humboldt Bay. So if you received this survey, I'm just here to remind you or request that you please take it. We really appreciate your participation and your input. We have had some technical difficulties with our survey platform, which is SurveyMonkey. So I will be sending out another link to people who haven't participated yet tomorrow morning. So please look for that in your inbox and it will come from my email, which is kmo29@humboldt.edu. So maybe check your spam as well if you don't get emails from Humboldt. And let's see. Lastly, I just also wanted to give a shout out to any members of the public who are watching this. The county also released a public survey on sea level rise. So that's for absolutely anyone who enjoys being around Humboldt Bay or is in the area, you don't need to live on the coast. So we'd really appreciate public input on that survey. Again, it's about sea level rise and sea level rise planning. And if you're interested as a member of the public to share your thoughts with local planners about sea level rise, you can access the survey by Googling Open Town Hall Humboldt Sea Level Rise, or the county also posted it on their Facebook page at the end of March, and then it was also in Loco. That is all I have to say. Thank you, hopefully, for your participation. And if you have any questions, again, you can contact me. My email is kmo29@humboldt.edu. Thank you.
Great, thank you. And I'm pretty sure I submitted my response to that. I'll double check. But how will, if I may, how will those survey responses then be used? Will we see a report on them at some point, or will they be included in a sea level rise report?
Yeah, I will be including them in my thesis report. So if you want to read a couple hundred pages of that, I can send it to you. the county will also have it in it. Some version of the results in their feasibility study as well.
Okay, great, thank you. And if you're looking for an audience to do a shorter than 100 page presentation on your thesis report, please get in touch with us. It'd be good to agendize on a future meeting sometime. We'd be happy to.
Thank you so much.
All right, is there anybody else for public comment? Seeing none, going to move on to the consent calendar.
So moved.
We got a motion.
Greg seconds.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second on the consent calendar. May we have a roll call vote, please?
Yes, Commissioner Higgins. Yes. Commissioner Dale?
Yes.
Vice President Doss?
Yes.
And President Coleman.
Yes. Moving on to communications, reports, and correspondence received. Executive Director's report.
Yes, I'll go ahead and give you a brief report. I'm assuming you can see that screen. So the Army Corps of Engineers Colonel was up here last Friday, and I met with him. And first of all, I just really want to thank Colonel Cunningham. He's been a huge advocate for the Port of Humboldt Bay and was really instrumental in a number of really critical projects around the bay. And as the board well knows, and the public should know as well, a couple of years ago, there was not really good communication between the Harbor District and the Army Corps of Engineers. And we submitted a letter to the Corps, and they knocked it out of the park. They addressed every one of the issues. They took us serious. It directly resulted in dredging the entrance channel, coming in and dredging the inner channel in front of Woodley Island Marina, a $22 million jetty reconstruction project. And the list just goes on and on and on of what the Corps has been doing for the Port of Humboldt. And I relayed to the Colonel, you know, a debt of gratitude that the community has for his leadership and also of his staff. And so he will be moving on to a new command in Germany, and he will be, you know, passing on the word to the new commander. And one good thing is the new commander, and I don't recall if it's his wife or him, grew up in the Reading area and still has family. And so hopefully we will get some additional attention by having some local people on there. But again, thanks again to Colonel Cunningham. And so the entrance channel, the dredging by the Army Corps of Engineers is complete. And all indications from everybody, and I talked to Green Diamond, is just really thrilled with the work that the Army Corps of Engineers did. We haven't gotten the final survey results, but we really think that they got it down as really close to 48 feet. And everyone seems to be very, very happy with the results. The jetty repair, anybody that's been out to the North Jetty has been seeing lots of repair work. The contractor has moved over to the South Jetty. And if you're on the North Jetty, you can see the activity on the South Jetty. Or if you're down in the South Jetty, you can see them moving. Once again, I just really want to encourage the public to give them wide berth. These are big rocks, big pieces of equipment, and it's really important work that they're doing. And so if you could make sure you give the Army Corps of Engineers contractors wide berth out there. And then lastly, with the Army Corps of Engineers, the Yukuna is tentatively scheduled. It's not 100% committed that it's going to be here, but we're looking at having them come up in to do the inner channel in sometime in September is when we're hoping that they're going to be up here. So we had applied for a USCPA brownfield grant associated with the multi-purpose terminal project, and this would deal with the entire area, coastal dependent industrial properties between the former pulp mill, which we call Redwood Marine Terminal 2, and the timber heritage properties. All of the property where they would come in and start to do the phase one environmental site assessment for the whole thing. And then if need be, they would do phase two, and really starting the relationship. And let me back up, expand the relationship that we already have with the EPA that we've done at the pulp mill, and really expanding it and proactively dealing with any contamination issues that may be associated with the proposed new multi-purpose dock project. The EPA has been great partners, and again, they're really working with us, and we hope to be successful on that. We've been meeting with the Nordic, really with the County of Humboldt, and there's been two meetings with all of the regulatory agencies, Coastal Commission, Army Corps of Engineers, Fish and Wildlife, Water Board, NOAA, and really starting the consolidated environmental impact report process. As you know, that the county decided to do an environmental impact report as opposed to the negative declaration that they were proposed to. We wholeheartedly agree with that determination, and we transferred over all of the documentation that we have completed thus far over to the county, and then they're starting to distribute that out. And so that's well underway. The dredging of the Woodley Island Marina, we're working with that, and we hope to continue that project. I think it's a little bit slower than we had initially anticipated, but hopefully that will start in August of this year. And again, we're hoping that we can pretty much get all of the fairways, go through all of the fairways, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, Adam, between C and IDOC. And so we will have gone all the way through from C to IDOC, as long as everything goes according to plan in the fairways. Hopefully I got that right.
That's correct.
And lastly is there's new guidance from on mass guidance from the CDC and also Cal OSHA will be issuing some new guidance. And really there's two things. Number one is for the public, but there's also the OSHA is putting out new guidance for workplace. And so I just want to let the board know that we're closely monitoring those, and we will be, my intention is to implement the Cal OSHA's guideline for workplace safety. Then Chris, do you want to jump in and just go over your slides real quick?
Sure, no problem. So in the facilities world, things have been fairly quiet lately, which, believe me, we love. But we have a new tenant out at Redwood Marine Terminal 2. We were able to lease 15,000 square feet of our warehouse and 2,500 square feet of outdoor space. So nice addition to what we already have out there. One of our responsibilities is to manage the Samoa ash dump, which is part of Redwood Marine Terminal 2. We've had a problem controlling the bramble out there. So we hired an individual to come out and help us with the brush removal. And we've got some great looking ash dump mounds out there. If you drive the peninsula, they look they're mowed like rows of corn. You probably think you're in the Midwest. So, and we're continuing our efforts on the liquor silos. I reported last month that we were hoping to get some of this stuff off site. Nothing's as easy as you want it to be, but we are actively working on that along with our consultants over at SHN. And then our team, both in the harbor maintenance workers and the office, really decided that we want to make the Embarcadero just glisten. So we've had a real focus on beautification of the Embarcadero, the landscaping, the rocks. Mindy and Brittany in our office picked out some flowers for some of the planter beds. And take a walk out there with your family. You know, bring your friends out. It's pretty enjoyable. So, yeah, it's quiet. Not a lot to share, but that's where we're at. Thank you.
That's all of the staff reports that we have.
Okay, great. So there's no district council or district treasurer report today?
The district council is on the phone today. I don't know if he has a report.
Nothing from council tonight.
And no report from me tonight.
Okay, then moving on to commissioner reports. Let me see, I guess I'll look over your shoulder, Larry, and ask Commissioner Higgins if he has a report.
Thank you, President Coleman. Tomorrow I'll be in the water. Walk, swim, crawl 6 miles tomorrow, 6 miles day after. The dreaded pike minnow in the eel. Trying to count, Fish and Game won't give me a permit to put professional spear divers in the water, but we'll persist on the scientific end. Problem in the drought is the predator always rebounds when it's dry and the water is warm. So, but I've been around in the eel. There's more coho than there's been in 10 years. It's a real paradox. A lot of steelhead and rainbow trout, native rainbow trout, and some of the tributaries. But it's not likely to last because of the problems with flow. But the problems with flow are only about half rooted in extraction. And the other half is we broke the sponge. And we need to restore forest health, and that's really the Eel River Recovery Project foremost thrust right now. People can go to eelriverrecovery.org. Got a lot of good stuff up there, videos and informational material. And we're still doing the other things, putting out water temperature probes, coordinating riparian restoration, doing water conservation and erosion control. Doing too much, really, but keeps me from getting bored. Thanks, Stephen.
Thank you. And Commissioner Doss?
Thanks, President Coleman. Most of, in fact, I'd say no formal meetings or committee meetings I was a part of, but I did have the pleasure several times, and I was just looking back on my day planner to see if I could give you a number, and I don't really, not quick enough to do that. But I had the pleasure of touring Humboldt Bay to several folks from out of the area multiple times for different reasons. Some were just plain tourists wanting to know more about the bay, and some were folks, you know, thinking about moving to the area. Some were folks thinking about relocating business to this area, had heard about the wind farm activity, had heard about broadband, had heard about Nordic, and it's exciting that the activity of this commission is putting Humboldt Bay on the map with that kind of activity. So it's always fun to brag on your own backyard, so to speak. And I'm very proud of this area and love the beautiful coast and bay and all the natural resources we have here. So to get me to go on and on about it to visitors is, it's not hard. So I think I did that, I think 7, possibly 8 times specifically sought me out because of being involved with the harbor and love it. So thank you. And I guess that's a thank you too to the rest of you to be able to work with a great group. It feels like the Harbor District is making big strides forward, and let's keep that momentum going. Also, big thank you to Corps of Engineers. I said it before and I keep saying it. You know, thanks for being here and thanks for dredging. Thanks for making the jetties safe. So that's my report.
Great, thank you. And Commissioner Dale?
So not a lot to report, but I will say that I've been a participant in our windmill Don Quixote committee. We like to call it the Don Quixote committee. Richard and I and Larry have spent a great deal of time talking with a variety of people about this project. And I gotta tell you, it's been a long time, we've seen a lot of tire kickers. And I gotta give, Larry a lot of credit, but it looks like things are moving forward and we need to support this project that's coming. And I don't see any downsides to it, but I think we need to manage it carefully. The other thing that I think that we have, and I agree with Mr. Doss, that we have a great commission and we have pursued a lot of things over the years. One of them is that pulp mill that we got criticized for so much. And I'm really looking forward to seeing some cable landings at that site. I'm really looking forward to seeing a heavy lift dock constructed there. And it really looks like the state of California and the US government are gonna support us in that. So things are very, very positive. Anyways, hope all's well. And please, everyone, be safe and have a good 4th of July, because we probably won't see you before then. Correct, Stephen?
I'm not sure who you will or will not see before then, Commissioner Dale, but we're not having a meeting before then.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, I don't really have anything of a report either, but I'll definitely echo what Commissioner Duss and Commissioner Dale said. And I have heard, like in various meetings that I've had for my work, people are talking about Humboldt in ways that they haven't spoken about Humboldt before for different topics in different industries than they've always associated Humboldt with. And I agree. I'm pretty proud. I think a lot of what's happening is centered around Humboldt Bay. And I think we've found and sought out some real compatible industries that will work well in this area, work well with the existing in fishing and mariculture and recreation and tourism industries that we have here in Humboldt Bay, provide good jobs for local residents and provide tax base for the economy here. So, you know, not trying to count our chickens before they're hatched, by any means, but I think there's a lot of positive things happening. So it's nice to remind ourselves of that sometimes, that positive things also happen. So moving on, we'll move on next to unfinished business. Item A, preliminary budget adoption for fiscal year 2021 to 2022.
Before I get started with that, President Coleman, I don't know if you wanted to consider entertaining a motion to remove agenda item 11A, employment contract with the executive director off there, just in case there's a member of the public that was waiting for that, so that they were, if you wanted to entertain a motion to remove that agenda item. That is to remove the executive director evaluation and pay item, to table that.
And just for clarification, I had spoken to Larry before the meeting saying that I wanted to remove it until we had a full commission here to discuss it. So I don't know if anybody wants to provide a second for that.
I would second that.
Okay. Well, it looks like Larry got you by a hand gesture. So we have a motion and second to, are we removing it, tabling it? Does it matter?
You're removing it from the agenda and then we will reschedule it.
Okay. So to remove item 11A from the agenda. I guess any discussion on that since there was a motion? Any comment from the public on the removal of item 11A from the agenda tonight? Okay, it looks like we have one from Scott Frazier. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not clear on what that agenda item is. Can you tell us what it is that the agenda item purports to address?
As far as I read it, and we haven't gotten to that agenda item, but there was no action on that agenda item. It was purely the employment contract for the executive director was placed on the agenda. There was no action stipulated for that item. So it looked like it was an informational item of the employment contract for the executive director.
Thank you.
Aye.
Any other public comment? All right, let's bring it back for a vote.
Commissioner Higgins? Aye. Commissioner Doss?
Aye.
Commissioner Dale?
Aye.
And President Coleman?
Yes. Okay, so bringing us back, so that'll be on a future agenda and it'll be duly noticed. If there is any action that we're taking on that, if there is actually an item. Unfinished business, A, preliminary budget adoption for fiscal year 2021 to 2022.
Yes, we are asking the board to approve the preliminary budget and also included within the budget process, we included in the packet the budget process and policies. We're not asking you to adopt that tonight. Those will be adopted with the final budget, which most likely will be presented to the board at your next meeting. This is a preliminary budget. It's not the final budget. It's the best estimate that we have at this date. There are a couple of items that are very likely going to be slightly modified from the preliminary budget. And based upon new information that we get, one item is that we got new information on the property taxes from the County of Humboldt, and so we're going to have to make some adjustments to the numbers in the property tax revenues. And then within the budget, there are four different alternative cash flow analysis that we put in. And so I really want to kind of draw your attention to those. Within those cash flow analyses, as you recall, there is one scenario assumes that we will not receive any rental income from Nordic Aqua Farms, nor will we receive any rental income from the Cable Landing Project in fiscal year 21-22. And that's the current preliminary budget that we're asking you to approve tonight. It's based upon the existing income streams that we have and not any future incomes. Then there's a second cash flow analysis that assumes that we receive the RTI Cable Landing, but that we do not receive the Nordic Aqua Farms. And then there's another alternative, which is that we do not receive the Cable Landing, but we receive the Nordic Aqua Farms. And then there's another cash flow analysis, which would assume that we would receive both Nordic and the RTI Cable Landing Project. One thing that I'd like the board to consider between now and the next meeting is really, it's all indications are that the Cable Landing is moving forward. We've already received the initial $200,000 payment. And if we're moving forward with the wind energy project, then we need to start planning for cash flow and other things. That doesn't mean that we have to spend the money right now, but we need to have to start to plan for some of these expenditures. And so one thing that I just want the board to think about is we believe that the preliminary budget is the budget that needs to be adopted. And there'll be some fine tuning between the preliminary and the final. But when we look at the multi-purpose terminal, you may want to consider us beginning the planning process to utilize some of the funds from the RTI Cable Landing Project. And just to go over just what that means so that the public and everybody knows what would happen under that scenario is, with the RTI, let me back up one second. As you recall, a few months ago, the board approved a promissory note amendment with the Coast Seafood. And what the Harbor District committed to do when we received the funds from either the RTI Cable Landing or the Nordic Aqua Farms, that we would first begin to pay off the Coast Seafood loan. And so what the cash flow analysis shows is that we're anticipating receiving the initial $425,000 RTI Cable Landing, and that's when they receive the coastal development permit. They would make a payment of $425,000. That initial $425,000 would go directly to Coast Seafood as the initial payment. Then the cash flow analysis under scenario two, which is, I'm looking at page 54 of 89 of the budget packet. And the second payment would kick in when they actually do the cable landing. And what they've told us is that they, as soon as they get the permits, then they intend to begin to mobilize. And then what there would be is there would be an additional $625,000 payment for the first cable landing, and then an additional $333,000 payment. And so of those RTI payments, then there would still be approximately $180,000 that would be remaining on the Coast Seafood loan. We would use that $180,000, pay down the Coast Seafood loan, and then the Coast Seafood loan would be paid in its entirety. And then at that point, we would the cash flow would, because we would no longer be making the Coast Seafood loan, then that would free up approximately $11,000 a month, $11,375 to be exact, per month of debt service payments that could be available for other projects. And then the differential between the $625,000, approximately $1 million payment in December minus the $180,000. So there would be approximately $820,000 of income after we fully repaid the Coast Seafood loan, plus we would have that $11,375 savings from the debt service. And so as we begin to do the discussion on the multi-purpose dock and the budget process, I'm really bringing that to your attention because I think the cable landing is right for us to begin to plan for those funds. And also there's a need, immediate need for some of those resources. Lastly, because of the delays, which we agree with, to circulate the environmental impact report for the Nordic Aquafarms project, that's causing a delay in that. And so at this point, I don't think we should anticipate the revenues in this fiscal year from that that income source because it's still uncertainty because they're not even at the hearing stage of the process. And I don't want to jump the gun and give any assumptions on that particular project is my assessment. And so I'd be happy to go over any questions that the board has on the agenda. Mark Witzel is here, the district treasurer. If you have any questions on the cash flow or any other financial analysis, Mindy is also here. But at this point, our recommendation is to approve the preliminary budget and then really for you to consider the cash flow analysis and whether we should begin to over the next few weeks to look at the RTI cable landing under scenario two of the cash flow analysis. I'd like to make a motion. Second.
To adopt the preliminary budget for 21-22.
All right, it sounds like we have a motion and a second. Does that motion need to include which cash flow analysis scenario we're adopting, or are those not a part of the official budget that we're submitting?
Those are not a part of the official budget. They're just for your analysis and what we should consider for the final budget. And also for your next agenda item, which is the multi-purpose terminal discussion.
In the comment realm, black ink, baby. I love it. I was here for a decade of serious hemorrhaging. We've turned the corner. We're fiscally sound. I'll knock on something. It's going to get better. And we can render more service once we have a strong financial base. So this greatly benefits the community. It's a public-private partnership. It's been misperceived a little bit in the past, but it's pretty clear that the Harbor District has a unique role in economic development on the peninsula. And we're having some success, and we have some tremendous private side partners. So we're grateful for them and for the support of the public.
Are there any other comments or questions from the board? I would just like to add, thank you for the preparation of this budget, and it's tough to steer a large ship like this around, but I think we really have, we're pointing in the right direction. Again, we can't get too excited until things are actually, till the cash flow actually starts happening, but I think we're there. The direction is correct. I thank you, Larry, for all of your hard work and leadership and what you've done to get us to this point. I agree that I think the scenario, I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but the one that looks at the RTI, that assumes the RTI payments coming through is probably the most realistic. And then if we have to do a budget adjustment in the future, either up or down, we would do that. But that seems like the most realistic one. The Nordic, I think we definitely can't count on that at this point. But it wouldn't be realistic to not expect that the RTI is going to land. That's probably the lower probability. But if that happens, we'd have to adjust some things. So if there are no other comments from the board, I'll open it up to the public for comments or questions. Hi, Jennifer.
Hey there, is this your entire budget discussion? Is that what's going on here?
Are you planning on having more discussion? I'm a little confused.
Was this the adoption? Thank you for that question. So can you clarify, Larry, is this the adoption of the final budget or this?
No, I'm sorry. As I should have made it clear, is that per state law, the Harbors and Navigation Code, the budget process at the Harbor District is two stages. The first, we have to adopt what's called a preliminary budget, which is our best estimate. And then after we adopt the preliminary budget, then we'll make any fine-tuned last-minute adjustments and then adopt the full budget. And by state law, that has to be adopted by July 31st. And we're required to then transmit that to the Board of Supervisors. They don't approve it. We just transmit it to the Board of Supervisors. And so this is the preliminary budget that we're asking the board to adopt,
which is due June 15th.
So we'll have, so that follows that we'll have an agenda item on our next meeting for the final budget. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that clarification.
Okay, but this is the place to discuss anything to do with the budget at all. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I will state my name for the record, Jennifer Colt with Humboldt Baykeeper. Nice to see you all. I am really confused about the fact that the Fields Landing Boatyard has $0 in the repair and maintenance column. And maybe it's somewhere else in the budget. I can't find it anywhere else, but you guys have a really serious stormwater pollution problem at Fields Landing. And I know I've raised this before in the past, and the plan was to try some things that have obviously failed. And I want to draw your attention to it because, well, it's frankly embarrassing that this is going on, and it's been going on for several years at the Harbor District's property. And so maybe the appropriate thing to do is to request an agenda item at a future meeting to talk about the Fields Landing Boatyard stormwater discharge and why you continue to be seeing exceedances of metals there and what's being done about it. But then secondarily, I guess my immediate question is it somewhere else in the budget, or are you really spending no money whatsoever on repair and maintenance at Fields Landing specifically regarding stormwater discharge? Thank you.
Thank you. I'll first ask if there's any other comments before we bring it back up to the board. So, Larry, can you address the issue of maintenance at the Fields Landing Boatyard?
Yeah, as the board knows, is that we entered into a lease agreement, and so we leased that property to Todd Rimke. And so as part of that, there's sort of as a triple net lease where he's responsible for certain maintenance items. And so there are some maintenance items that the property owner does. Then within the budget for the Fields Landing, then we have a stormwater management program where we run it through a filter system. And then we do the laboratory analysis. And then before we can discharge anything through the tanks that we have, then it has to be sampled and tested before it gets discharged into the basically the Humboldt Bay Municipal or Community Service District and eventually to the City of Eureka's wastewater treatment system. With that said, we've had lots of discussions. And when there was a specific meeting on the Fields Landing Boatyard, we identified the stormwater system as a severe deferred maintenance problem at the Fields Landing Boatyard. And it's identified as one of the higher priority items, you know, when we start to get into the cash flow perspective. And so from staff's perspective, as soon as we start to get into the positive cash flow, you know, our intention is to address some stormwater problems at Fields Landing Boatyard.
Hey, Larry, this Stephen, this is great.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I thought that this had been addressed, and I'm a little bit it caught me off guard that it hasn't been addressed. So can we put this on our agenda as an agenda item so we can discuss it?
Mm-hmm. We can put it on the next agenda item. The next agenda, the July agenda.
Okay, yeah, I agree. I think that would be a good idea. And maybe in the scenario that we're having.
It's not on the agenda right now.
Thank you, Pat. I was going to talk about the budget, not about that. So in the scenario, in the budget that we have the cash flow, it may be a good idea to have some funds set aside then for that. And so I would like to maybe see that when the final budget's coming back, that there might be some funds set aside for that, if that's appropriate, and we can have that, you know, as part of sort of a combined discussion when that item is on the agenda. So
all right, thank you.
Thank you. And I appreciate you bringing that to our attention. Any other discussion on the preliminary budget right now? All right, hearing none, I guess we need to take a vote on accepting the preliminary budget. Is that correct?
We have to adopt, the motion was to adopt the preliminary budget. That's correct.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Could we have a vote on that, please?
Commissioner Dale.
Aye.
Commissioner Higgins.
Oh, yeah.
Commissioner Doss.
Yes.
President Coleman.
Yes. All right, moving on to item B, preliminary cost estimates for conceptual master plan for development of a new multi-purpose terminal to support the emerging West Coast offshore wind industry, request financial assistance from the Board of Supervisors, and amend contract to prepare grant application. It's a mouthful.
It is.
And I move that we approve the presentation and amend the contract with Moffitt Nickel. Sorry, I just want to get that moving.
All right, do we have a motion? We have a motion. Do we have a second on that motion?
I'll second.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. It looks like we have a presentation on this.
Okay, so the state approved, it's not been approved yet, included in the governor's May budget revise, there was $20 million allocated, and approximately $6.5 million of that would go to the Ocean Protection Council, the Coastal Commission, and California Fish and Wildlife, and that would be for interagency offshore wind analysis within the initial 3 miles of the state's waters. One important thing to note is Humboldt Bay is within, you know, the state's tidal trust land. The Harbor District is the trustee on that, but $6.5 million has been allocated to begin the interagency environmental review. There's an additional $2.2 million that would go to the California Energy Commission to do community outreach, engagement, and technical assistance. And within the language that they have within that, their intention is to do community outreach to the tribe, the public, and really begin this whole process with this $6.5 million and this $2.2 million to start the public and environmental review project process within the state's lands. So then in the specific item that we've been focused on is $11 million for port investment. And I don't have the exact number, it hasn't been released, but the actual number that's gonna allocate it directly to the Harbor District will be approximately $10.5 million, and then the California Energy Commission will retain approximately $500,000 for other purposes. What they told us is that we can use all of this money as leverage money for the project if it's allowable under the Port Infrastructure Development Program grant. And so I wanted to highlight these other different components because the state didn't just invest into port infrastructure. They're also really kicking off the public and tribal engagement process with $2.2 million, and also the California environmental, all the technical reports and studies and things that need to happen as far as the environmental review process within state waters. Another portion that isn't in this little table, but of the money that's been allocated, there's $800,000 that's really committed to address the deficiencies in the transmission systems out of Humboldt County. $800,000 would look at a large battery storage array or potentially an electricity to hydrogen conversion as mechanisms that might reduce the need to expand the transmission capabilities out of the county. So our intention is to apply for a $56 million federal grant through the Department of Transportation under their Port Infrastructure Development Program. And then the $11 million from the state that was committed up here. And then what we were looking to do is we've had some discussions with the state's iBank on what might be the Harbor District's ability to get new debt service. And what we're really looking at, just to make it clear, is the possibility of refinancing some of our existing debt that we have that's at a higher interest rate. Then basically doing cash out. And so basically looking at the Harbor District's existing debt service payments and with the existing budget that we have, again, not based upon Nordic Aqua Farms income, not based upon the future rental income, but underwriting it based upon our existing cash flow that we have right now. And preliminarily, they said somewhere in the range of $6 to $8 million of cash out is potentially possible. And I'm just bringing this up to the board because this is something that we'd likely need to consider. And then we submitted a letter to the county requesting $6 million from the county. And if we were able to secure all of those, then we would have $79 million available for this port infrastructure development program. Let me just back up for a second. When you start talking about potentially having $79 million, you have a project that becomes real and viable. And that's kind of what Commissioner Dale was discussing before is we're really taking this serious, and this is a very viable project. We've been meeting with all of the coastal dependent industrial property owners on the Sonoma Peninsula because this isn't just a Harbor District project. Green Diamond, Danco, Snyder, Security National, Zerlang, DG Fairhaven. This is really a regional benefit project, and the benefits would go outside of just the Harbor District property. And then these are just the property owners on the Sonora Peninsula. We really need to look at one of the core priorities of the Port Infrastructure Development Grant is looking at environmental justice and those and other similar types of issues. So we have to really take into the concerns of the tribes, the low-income community of Samoa, and also the recreational, aquaculture, fisheries, other users in the peninsula when we're evaluating and making these decisions. I want to make sure that everybody knows that there's other ports that are really beginning to look at this and take this seriously. And so if we don't act, then we should be prepared that there will be competition that comes in. We've worked really hard to get ahead of the competition by doing some of this preliminary planning, conceptual designs, these things. And the board made it crystal clear to me a number of times. These conceptual designs that we have are just that. They're conceptual designs. These are not final designs. And it's not something that we're trying to ram through the public. What we need to do is we need to begin the process to get public input on this and modify the project as it may be appropriate to minimize the potential impacts. But at the same time, we have to meet the project's objectives. And so that's part of this conceptual design process. And so as the board well knows, we put together this conceptual master plan. And with the grant, there's no way for the $77 million that we would be able to do this entire project. This is a conceptual master plan for the whole area. And when we apply for the grant, what our intention is to apply for the funds to do a complete environmental impact report for this entire area, the complete environmental impact report for the entire area, and then to apply for coastal development permits to do a phased development over time. When we're applying for this initial funding, what we really will be applying for is primarily just this assembly port. The board has an existing contract with Moffitt Nickel, and the existing contract was only to do a small port grant. And what we were going to do, because let me back up, the state at that time, when you approved at your last meeting, the state had not yet approved the $11 million in funding for us. And so we approved Moffitt Nickel to prepare a $4.5 million grant application, which would be just to prepare the environmental impact report and then to do the mitigation that's over here in the lower right-hand portion of the project, and then to do some of the transportation improvement projects. At this point in time, because the state came forward and committed the funds, that what I'm asking the board to do is to, let me back up for 1 second since I'm on this slide, is, and so if we look at this and we apply for a port infrastructure development program grant for $56 million, the state gives us $11 million. If the Harbor District can finance within our means somewhere between $6 to $9 million, and then if we can potentially get $6 million from the county and $6 million from another source, I just put Redwood Community Action Agency in there, then at that point, Redwood Coast Energy Authority, it could be some other entity or some other grant funding source or something to that point, then we would have $88 million at that point. And the preliminary cost estimates at this point are $107 million with a 15% contingency built into the project. And so Moffitt Nickel is preparing the cost estimates based upon a piling project. And they're supposed to give me the initial numbers by mid next week. And so I'll have revised numbers by mid next week, and this is all starting to come together. And so then with the money that the Harbor District has already appropriated, what we went to you and the board approved a $35,000 contract to Moffitt to Nickel. And we split that $17,500 between the Harbor District and $17,500 with the Redwood Coast Energy Authority. The Redwood Coast Energy Authority, their board committed up to $50,000 to support the Harbor District in the application. Moffitt Nickel came back with an amendment, which would be an additional $27,800 to do the full, the entire assembly port project and the cost estimates associated with that. And then there's additional funds that we needed to do with Waco and SHM. And so at this point, there's really is a couple of things that I want to bring to the district's attention, is that the board only meets once a month. And in order to succeed with doing this grant application, I can't wait a month to get a contract approval. We just won't have enough time to move this forward. It just won't work that way. My contract limitation is only $5,000, and so it won't work if I do this at $5,000 at a time. And so what I'm asking the board to do is to change the appropriation from $17,500 to up to the $50,000. And what that does is that enables me to leverage the RCAA $50,000 so that we're doing a matching funds on this. And so that with the cost that I already have laid out with doing $15,000 for LACO, because remember we had a contract with them to help with the conceptual designs. We have to do modifications to the conceptual designs to match up with the Moffitt-Nichol proposal, you know, to submit the grant. And there's other costs that are coming in here. We have contracts with SHN, they're our district engineer, and with Plan West. And so we're trying to use all of those contracts. And I'm not kidding, it's expensive. If you're going to build a new, you know, $107 million multi-purpose dock, it's expensive. And so I'm asking the board to appropriate $50,000 to match the RCEA's $50,000. And then in addition to that, the Headwater Store Board did a commitment of $30,000, but we just don't have the scope of work yet to amend the contract, and that probably won't happen in time that we can really be meaningful to use for this grant application. Within the preliminary budget that the board just adopted, there's a $100,000 line item in there under the Tidelands that was identified specifically for the multi-purpose dock. That's what we identified. And then in the Plan West and the SHN, we had incorporated some additional funds in those preliminary budgets for those. So I'm asking the board to approve the Moffitt-Nichol contract to increase that by the $27,800, but to appropriate up to $50,000 so that I can, as sparingly as possible, you know, get everything that we need to put together this grant. So then a couple of things just in kind of conclusion, and then I'm going to wrap this up, is we submitted a $6 million request to the Board of Supervisors, and they requested that I come back on June 21st and give a presentation to the full board. I think it's really critical that if we're going to move forward, that we have to educate the Board of Supervisors. And I would really, you know, ask each of the board of our board, my bosses, basically, to reach out to the Board of Supervisor in your district and to begin to educate them on this project and the need to get some assistance to them. And I really believe that we need to educate the board on how far we are along in this process and how it's really urgent that we get some assistance, you know, from the Board of Supervisors. And really, whatever they could do would be helpful. The next thing I want to just really kind of open this up, and I think the board and we need to have a good, honest dialogue on will the Harbor District consider doing a loan to meet the project? And so Chris and I have been working with the iBank, and they're currently doing the underwriting analysis. And so at your next meeting, we hope to be able to get some underwriting analysis. And then we wouldn't be doing it. There'd be no commit. It would basically, there wouldn't be a loan. Nobody would be signing loan documents. What there would be is basically that the underwriting says that we would qualify for X amount. And then we would have to go through the complete process. But there, it would be in a form that we could use that to count towards matching funds. And so I'm asking the board really to consider, do you want us to go through with this? Because the more money we get, then the more realistic the project will become. And so with that, I'm going to close this, and I would again ask you to amend the contract, appropriate the $50,000, and then work with the Board of Supervisors from your respective districts, and then really consider this loan.
Mr. President?
Thank you. Yeah, go ahead, Greg. You can start.
I would like to make a motion that we accept or that we had.
That I think we have a motion on the floor already.
Already?
Yeah, I didn't know. Well, yeah. Mr. Powell made a motion to approve the staff recommendation, And Commissioner Higgins seconded. Okay.
So why are we still on this item?
Well, you guys jumped the gun and made the motion before we had a report. I wanted to hear the report, and I have a couple questions. But I mean, I'm overall very much in support of it, but I'd like to ask a couple clarifying questions. But first, any other members of the board have any comments or questions?
I think the argument with our supervisors is the tax base. They're going to make this back. It's going to be huge infrastructure, and the taxes will be substantial.
Larry?
Yeah. I'm in favor of this. I'm just how we logistically show this, I'm a little off. So budget-wise, I'd like to see this in our budget and plan for it. And then also, we've traditionally met twice a month in the past, and this kind of project warrants special meetings. And we have their set one meeting a month. I think it's worth our time to have a second meeting in the month to keep this up to speed. And it also would be helpful for the public to follow along, I think, too, instead of once a month, that we can all move forward at that pace. So those are my two comments. The first is that I'd almost like to use that second meeting to authorize funds at a pace with the commission agreeing in a path versus just all at one time. And one of those reasons is we're spending some money that we don't have full approval from the state. I mean, the state said we're going to do it. I guess that's about as close to a guarantee you can get from the state, but I'd sure like to know that they pass their budget and the check clears and it's in the Harbor District's account, and then we know we can spend it. So I've got issues there, and I'm not totally satisfied with spending that money yet until the state's on board.
Greg?
You muted, Greg.
Yeah, no. So I think Commissioner Doss's comments are absolutely spot on. What I will say is that the permit application or the grant application is to get the $11 million, to get the $56 million. And if we don't allocate, so we already approved $17,000 to get the application for $4.5 million from the state. This is an increase, and it's an increase in work. And to be perfectly honest, I'm not sure I understand exactly how much more work it is to get $11 million and $56 million versus $3.5 million. But the bottom line is if we want to apply for the grant, this is how much it costs. And so I'm supportive of spending the money to apply for the grant when we've had several meetings telling us to apply for the grant from people from the governor's cabinet, governor's office, the DOD, and the Department of Defense. Larry, refresh me. Tell me.
The Governor's Economic Development, I believe, is the other one.
So, I mean, they're all telling us, apply for the dang grant. You're the only people that we're considering.
Right.
And so I think it's money well spent. That's my...
I would agree, but I jump in. So my one clarifying question is, are you asking us tonight to approve an additional 50,000 or to increase our approval up to 50,000?
To increase it up to 50,000. And really the additional cost is because when we were only applying for the 4.5 million, we were under the small ports category. And so we were excluded from doing a detailed, what's called a benefit cost analysis. And so by applying for the $56 million, they were required to do this detailed benefit cost analysis. And really the big, here's really is the big problem, and we've had a lot of meetings on this, is there is no supply chain on the West Coast. And so in order to apply for the grant, because again, this is from the Department of Transportation. And so what they're really interested in is if they do these improvements, then it's going to result in efficiencies in transportation. And so what we're having to do is research exactly where the blades, the towers, the turbines, everything would come from. And most likely they come from Asia. And if we were able to build facilities in America, then we would reduce transportation costs, right? That's really what it's all about, reducing transportation costs. And so we've been meeting with the Department of Energy's natural, the NREL, their organization, which is kind of like the Shots Energy Lab, and really trying to get these numbers. And that's what the costs are for, really, is that's the big costs are doing this supply chain analysis that hasn't been done yet.
Thanks, Larry, for that.
I wish they were as good as the Shots Energy Research Lab, you know. But the other question, which you might have answered, because it might be part of the grant application, it sounds like, it would be really good to see, as we're starting to plan this money and having to convince other people to spend money, to start having at least some preliminary cost benefit projections. You know, when are we going to see this money coming back in terms of income, in terms of tax base, and at what amounts? I know we're all saying like, oh yeah, there's going to be a ton of jobs, a ton of taxes and all that, but it would be good to see that. Yeah, I know it would all be projections at this point, but you know, to be able to bring to the Board of Supervisors and others really an idea like, you know, in 5 years, some company's going to be building this out, you know, in X amount of years, we're going to start seeing lease payments. In another X amount of years, we're going to see the tax increases. And so I think that would be a really useful part of this analysis. And that might be part of what the grant application is doing, it sounded like.
Yeah, there's two different studies that are going on right now that I think will partially address what you're saying, is that the Department of Defense agreed to fund, it's not a full benefit cost analysis, but what they're doing is they're doing an economic analysis of what are the economic benefits on the Humboldt region, and they're doing it for two different scenarios. The first scenario is if we were only the assembly port, in other words, nothing was manufactured here, basically the components came in, and then we built the terminal, and we assembled them here, then what would be the economic ramifications in the region? And then the second thing that the Department of Defense's contractor is doing is if we were to build out the full conceptual master plan, including a $200 million tower fabrication facility, then what would be the economic ramifications under that scenario? And so they told me that they were running the model numbers. They were running those last week, and then they were going to start to do the analysis. And so I should have, I'll talk to the consultant, and I'd really like to have those numbers, preliminary numbers, before the Board of Supervisors meeting on the 21st, because I think those would be very helpful.
And just to clarify, is that actually the Department of the Defense doing that analysis or Department of Energy?
That is, and this is came from the meetings that Commissioner Dale and Commissioner Marks and myself had. We were meeting with the Department of Defense, and the Department of Defense, their contractor, a private contractor, is preparing this economic analysis for the Port of Humboldt. That's completely free, and they're doing that at our request and the state of California's request. And then but it does not meet the requirements of the grant. And so the grant requires a Department of Transportation benefit cost analysis under their modeling. It's basically the same stuff as Caltrans has to do for all the highway projects and everything. It's just different. Department of Transportation has different models than Department of Energy, who has different models than Department of Defense. And so, yeah, we should be getting two separate financial analysis for the port infrastructure, one from the Department of Defense and one as part of the benefit cost analysis for the grant application. Within the next 2 weeks to 45 days.
Okay, well, I'm fully in favor, but before I bring it up to out to the public, I also want to ask how will the offshore wind turbines affect all these UFOs that we apparently have like off the coast, you know? Is that a consideration too? But now I'd like to bring it to the public. The Jennifer Cult, go ahead.
Hi there, thank you. I must have missed it, but can you just repeat where that $50,000 is gonna be coming from? Thanks.
I'll answer it when we go through the public comments, if that's okay with the chair.
Yeah, I think I'll take all the comments and then we'll answer. Scott, I see your camera on. I don't know if you had a comment. Yes.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Chairman Coleman. I believe we had this discussion a month or so ago when you allocated the 17.5, and I asked the question that Jen just asked where the money was coming from, because you're late at the end of your fiscal year, and we'll look forward to the answer again tonight. But certainly this is an interesting proposal and or development, but the pace at which these changes are happening seem to imply a sense of urgency that I believe would justify a second meeting in the month of June. And certainly with a small group that tends to follow your monthly meetings, you really would benefit from some additional public involvement, because the last time we talked about where the money was coming from, your available funds are pretty much all expended, and you're borrowing money from the dredge fund, it appears to me. Thank you.
Okay, are there any other additional comments? All right, so I think you had mentioned that there was a $100,000 line item within the budget, but why don't you clarify that, Larry?
That is correct, is that within the preliminary budget that you just approved under I could get the exact account number on that. There's $100,000 that is allocated in the preliminary budget. And then within the, on page 51 of 89 of the packet, under, it assumes, it shows that there's a beginning cash balance of $950,000 beginning on July 1st, 2020. And so that is the available cash balance. I don't have the exact number of what is the dredge fund balance. That's in the audit, but it's not $950,000.
Okay, so to clarify, this amount is not being taken or otherwise diverted from the dredge fund balance?
No, we maintain a separate accounting of the dredge fund, and then we keep the accounting of the dredge fund, and included in the annual audit is the list of the income and the expenditures of the dredge fund. And so we're not proposing to decrease anything from the dredge fund balance.
So there must be in that budget, then there must be some expenses that are not going to hit maybe until after the cable landings or something that we can put off and delay payment to afford this.
Yeah, that's really, as this, as Mindy will tell you, that is our standard operating practice. We closely monitor the budget. This is how we operate. If we can delay something that isn't urgent, then we will put it off and then prioritize the projects. We closely monitor our cash flow analysis. And Mindy and Chris do an amazing job of keeping us on task.
One of those steps of faith.
So this $50,000 is in next year's budget that you haven't approved yet? Is that what you're saying?
No, I want to make this crystal clear. I am asking you to appropriate $50,000 onto the FY 2021 budget. So we would have a total of $50,000 for the offshore wind project. Of the available and projected cash flow of $950,000 that is in there.
All right. And so how at this point in your fiscal year do you have the extra $37,000 to spend? Where is it coming from?
It's a multi-million dollar operation. This is huge amounts of money. So making a giant deal out of it doesn't make much sense, Scott.
You guys don't pay attention to where the money comes from, Pat.
I'd like to ask for some order in the meeting. I'm not going to entertain a back and forth like this. There was a valid question from the public, and there was a response that the money is coming from the cash on hand reserves right now. If the board elects to so appropriate it for this matter, it is not being taken from the dredge fund balance. We're actually getting dredging done, which we haven't done in the past. So is there any other discussion on this item at hand, including where this appropriation of these particular funds would be coming from?
Question?
Okay, so who said question? Was that meaning calling the question? Yeah, I was gonna say before in closing comment that you know, this happens all the time, but I think that we need to make these investments to be bringing more of this benefit into the district. So I'm going to vote in favor of it. Yes, it would be great if we had full on cash inflow, but I think in hand, but I think that's what we're working towards. But we have this money in the budget, and it's an appropriate use of this money, in my opinion. So yeah, I'm ready to call a vote.
Commissioner Dale.
Yes.
Commissioner Higgins.
Yeah.
Commissioner Doss.
Yes.
And President Coleman.
Yes. All right. Thank you, everyone. And thank you for the conversation. As stated before, we are removing item 11A. So moving on to item 11B, award a contract to remove hazardous materials from Redwood Marine Terminal 2.
Staff would recommend that you approve a contract to remove the hazardous materials from RMT2. Is basically what happened when we acquired the pulp mill. You know, it was a fully functioning pulp mill, and there was a wide variety of chemicals that were stored on site. So we've been properly storing those materials, and I believe it's twice a year, we do reports to the County Department of Environmental Health. And basically, the county has just said, look, you've had these too long. You got to get rid of them. You don't have any intention of using them on site, and you really have to remove them. And so we've been issued an order to remove the hazardous material. We've gotten a couple of bids. And so we're asking you to approve the low bid to remove 810 gallons and 7,250 pounds of regulated waste. Again, this is really, I think it's doing us a favor. Not doing us a favor. We have to get rid of this. We really have to get rid of it. We've been using as much of the material as we can. And through the auction process, we also we're able to transfer some of the usable material over to other people to use. But at this point, we have to dispose of this material, and so we're asking the board to approve the contract with Clean Air.
So move.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion or questions on this?
Go ahead, Larry. One more thing, just wanted to ask on this particular part though, is there a chance we're getting reimbursed EPA on this one?
No, we won't be able to get reimbursed. We've had discussions with them, and this is not an eligible expense.
Okay.
Well, technically it's not contamination because it's properly stored. You know, it's basically oil, grease, you know, and some other things besides just that, but it's not contamination.
Right. Yep. Yep.
But once you're ordered, you can't get a grant.
All right. Any other conversation from the board on this one? Moving to the public, any conversation from the public on this one? Seeing none, I will bring it back up for a vote.
Commissioner Dale?
Yes.
Commissioner Higgins?
Yeah.
Commissioner Doss?
Yes.
And President Coleman?
Yes. All right, future agenda items include bar pilot recruitment, Green Diamond Shared Services Agreement, Coast Guard Utilities Contract. There is a request to include Fields Landing, stormwater, conditions and plans.
How'd the long fence not get off there?
That's I was wondering.
You know, come on, at least it's got to stay on the list, even if we never get to it.
All right, and I see Larry with his hand up.
Yeah, Mr. President, and maybe we can look at that second meeting, at least on a temporary basis here while things are really hot with the wind project, and keep that front and center. I'd like to hear progress on the grant movement, and I think it's good for the public to hear it too.
So are you?
I agree with Larry.
Having a second meeting then this month to, there will be an update grant process and budget.
How about 2 in July? It's budget month. Or is there a business that's going to be transacted between now and then that's going to need special meetings? That I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. What's our timeline? Because the grant itself is due the end of July, correct?
Well, I think we really have two options here is either we just go ahead and schedule one more meeting in June and one more meeting in July, and that gives advance notice to the public on the specific dates that we would hold those. Or we defer to the board chair to call a meeting. But in my opinion, we've been better served by just going ahead and scheduling them. And then the public is on notice that we intend to have meetings on those dates.
Right.
I agree. If we're going to do it, might as well schedule them now.
I agree.
Paid for a second meeting in June that there will be updates to discuss.
Yeah, well, this doesn't need a vote, Stephen. You can make an edict on this one.
I wasn't asking you, Pat. I was asking Larry if he thinks that there's items that need to be discussed.
I do think I don't know for sure, but I'm anticipating that there will be either real property issues or contracting issues that we should discuss. And so initially I would recommend that I think we should do it on the fourth Thursday of June, right? But I think I think we should consider doing it on the third Thursday of July. And the reason why that's not the fourth is because the grant application is going to need to be due before then. And so most likely the final decision on the grant submittal will be on the third Thursday in July, if that would you would consider that.
The fourth Thursday in June is the RCEA board meeting, so I may or may not be able to make that.
The 1st of July could be a way to update and report in on what's happened from the county's standpoint and the presentation that the director is going to make to the county supervisors. And that is not quite in June, but it's close.
So then we would have a meeting the 1st of July, the 8th of July.
How about the 1st and the 15th?
Well, that would be canceling a regularly scheduled meeting, which I suppose.
Reschedule.
But that's the public's never been a big fan of us shifting our meetings around like that. And we could keep the 24th, and I would probably end up joining, either joining late or being able to join.
Schedule for a vacation on the 24th. First one in 5 years.
Good for you. Yeah, I'm going to be away actually the second half of July as well. But so let's see. Hearing like the 1st of July sounds good for a meeting. We could do the 1st and the 8th or the 1st and the 15th. I'm going to be out of town on the 15th, but I could probably call in.
1st and 15th probably makes sense.
I'm not going to be in town. The 1st. So I'll be out the 1st.
And you're part of our wind subcommittee. See, this is never as easy as it sounds. But
how about if we send out a doodle poll? I work with Mindy, and we send out a doodle poll of available dates, and then we leave it up to the chair to do, and then we will, notice the meetings as soon as we can, so the public is aware.
Yeah, we tried to notice it in this meeting, but we didn't seem to have success. So we will do our best to schedule two additional meetings for June and July, one in each month or close to that, and we'll notice that as soon as possible.
Mr. President, you've already got one down in June, so we're clear.
One more.
Who am I?
Oh, no, I don't want to go ahead and cancel the 8th yet.
Of July?
Yeah, because the 8th of July is our regular meeting. So it doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense to have one on the 1st and cancel the 8th quite yet. So why don't we, Larry and I all get together and talk, and we'll send out the poll and put the schedule out.
Thank you.
We'll get that out soon. So if there is nothing else, I'll say we are adjourned. Thank you very much. Stay safe, everybody. Enjoy summer. Enjoy this weather.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, you guys.
Okay. Thank you.